We hear a lot about efforts these days to get girls interested and involved in the STEM field, science, technology, engineering, and math. But despite these efforts, the sciences are still dominated by men.
Our next guest wanted to take a closer look at why that is while looking back on the life choices she had made. As one of the first women to earn a Bachelor of Science degree in physics at Yale, Eileen Pollack was a prime candidate for going far in the scientific world. But instead of pursuing grad school, she made a different choice. She became a writer instead. In her new book, she looks at why women, like herself, are dissuaded from continuing in the sciences and what can be done to change that.
Eileen Pollack is a professor of creative writing at the University of Michigan and the author of The Only Woman in the Room, Why Science is Still a Boys Club. She joins us from Arco Studios in New York City. Eileen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Really happy to be here, Veronica.
Well, your story got going in 2005. Now, this is the year that former Harvard President Lawrence Summers made some pretty controversial remarks about why so few women achieve tenured positions in the hard sciences. So can you bring us back to what he said and how it affected you?
Well, you know, first of all, I don't think he got enough credit for raising the question. You know, he was really concerned about where the women were, why there weren't more women tenured on the science faculty at Harvard. Unfortunately, when he postulated the possible reasons, you know, he's a former debater, so you list all the possibilities and then go back and examine each one. Some of the possibilities he listed really can make you pretty upset if you're a woman in the field, one being that maybe, you know, at the highest end in terms of IQ, women aren't as talented in the sciences or math or don't want to work quite as hard as put in the hours necessary as men do. But he also mentioned cultural and psychological and social forces, bias. So that was where the uproar was. Now, I happen to know Larry Summers. I've known him since I was a teenager. I was a debater, too. I really was that nerdy. And he was older, but, you know, he judged our team. And so I actually sat down to write him an email. I hadn't thought about my own experiences for years because they were so painful. I had wanted so desperately to be a theoretical physicist, and then I didn't go on. So I sat down to write him an email that explained sort of the psychology, the cultural forces, the reasons I hadn't gone on. And next thing I knew, I had a 20-page email. And I realized even I didn't fully understand some of my own reasons. And I realized what I needed to do was write a book instead. And I have to say, when I was finished, I sent it to Larry. And he said that it really helped him to understand a lot that he hadn't understood before.
It's so interesting because the beginning of your story as a child who was interested in science reads like kind of a fairy tale for girls who wanted to go into science. You taught yourself, you were motivated, you made it to Yale, and yet things still didn't work out the way that you wanted it to. But initially, you felt like science was magic. What was that first attraction to science like for you?
Well, it did feel like magic. I mean, the two things I loved to do were make up stories in my head and then write them down. So you're creating something, right? It's all in the imagination. But science was, first of all, you could think in your head about what the world was made of and what space was and time and outer space and space travel. And but then you could also make things happen. You know, I had at my brother's chemistry set, and you could actually follow the directions and things would change in front of your eyes. But it wasn't really such a fairy tale. I mean, part of the story is that I actually wasn't allowed to take what passed for the advanced science and math courses in my junior high and high school. The boys were, but I wasn't allowed because I was a girl. So I actually was teaching myself all that because I was so angry and bored at school.
Right, you would skip classes, it sounds like, and you taught yourself calculus.
Right, and the trouble, though, is when I got to Yale, I was mostly reading about science and, as you said, teaching myself calculus, and I got to Yale, and not only was I one of the only women in the room, but the 120 guys who were there, almost all of them had taken advanced placement, college-based calculus and physics at their prep schools, at their magnet schools, and I just was so amazingly behind, and I didn't even know. I'd always done so well, right? But I didn't get how incredibly far behind I was when I got there. And Yale, like most universities, most science and math departments consider those intro courses what they call weed-out courses. They're trying to get rid of people, right? So anybody who doesn't come in super prepared, that's it. You're usually finished. And that's one thing I'm trying to change, because I think that's where we're losing a lot of women and minorities and people who just, even white males who don't go to great high schools and don't get to take these courses. It shouldn't be too late just because freshman year, you know, well, I failed my first physics midterm. I was about to drop then, you know, and that's what happens to a lot of people.
So in those first years, there were a lot of times, most of the time, you were the only woman in the room and you were trying to make up for some background in coursework that you hadn't gotten that the other men in your classes had gotten. Why didn't you just raise your hand and ask a question and say, I need some help on this?
Well, yeah, great question, you would think. Now I would. But you're so self-conscious. So there's something called stereotype threat, right? And it's a fancy name for just being incredibly uncomfortable, self-conscious, because you're the only X in the room. So if you were the only man in a group, you know, in a yoga class that's all women, you know, you could feel self-conscious there too. And it affects your performance. I felt if I raised my hand and asked a question, everybody would thinking, sure, the one girl in the room, she's stupid, she's slowing us down. And guys are sort of conditioned not to show what they don't know. And so I thought they all understood everything. And if I didn't get it, I was demonstrating that I didn't belong there. Now, at some point, I just asked the questions anyway. And I found out senior year that the guys told me they didn't even know enough to ask questions. And they were counting on me. They figured, well, Eileen always asks, so we don't have to show how ignorant we are. But you don't know that, right? So every time I had to ask a question, I was not only thinking about the material, I was thinking about how I was being perceived. But, you know, even the fact I would cross my legs in class and it felt like the whole class came to a stop, right? So you just become so self-conscious. Or if there's one other girl in the room and she makes a comment and people don't like the comment, you feel it reflects on you. And so all this stuff is going on in your head and it really hurts your ability to focus on the material.
We're talking with Eileen Pollack right now. She's the author of The Only Woman in the Room, Why Science is Still a Boys' Club. And she's talking about her perspective as one of the first women to earn a Bachelor of Science degree in physics from Yale University. You would want it to be someone who worked in physics, a physics PhD. You didn't make it that far. And one of the stories from your book that really sticks with me is you in a class with a professor named Kaku Tani, and you went to him, you weren't getting it, was just going over your head, and you went to him and said, I'm going to quit. And he tried to get you to stop, and it didn't persuade you. Why not? And what did he say to you?
You know, that was the exception. And I really admire him, because most professors don't encourage you to stay, especially if you're a woman. If you say, I'm not getting it, they let you drop, certainly more readily than guys are seen to drop. But there's another thing going on there, which is that because the course I dropped is an incredibly hard course, right? Everybody has trouble with it. But girls are more likely to think it's their problem, their fault. I should have stayed in the class, right? Guys think, oh, you know, it's just hard material, or the professor's terrible, or whatever. Actually, Professor Kaku Tani was remarkably good. But there are just different ways that men and women react to obstacles, to difficulties. And some of that, most of that is just socialization. It's how girls are brought up, and they're still brought up differently from the way boys are being brought up.
Well, and for this book, you went back and you tracked down some of these old professors that you had worked with. And now, years later, you had some who had really big praise for you. Now, it wasn't the case so much then. Looking back, what could they have done differently to help you stay in the field?
Right. And again, you know, I want to stress that I really liked my physics and math professors, most of them. They were great guys. And so this isn't a story about villains who were like trying to keep me out because I was a girl. They just didn't understand really how out of place you feel if you feel you don't belong in a profession, if all the pictures of everybody who's a physicist, say, is male. I felt very isolated. The boys were all doing their problem sets together. I was doing mine alone. So they kind of didn't get how much I felt out of place, discouraged. And there's an ethos, I didn't realize until I went back to talk to these professors, there's an ethos that we don't encourage anyone, right? If you need to be encouraged, you don't belong in the field. Because you would have this passion from birth anyway, and nothing would discourage you. And this is such a hard field that if you need to be encouraged, you're not going to make it. First of all, I just don't get that, because encouragement is a great thing. And especially at the beginning of someone's career, why not encourage them? Especially if you think they're talented. But also, I think people don't get how much the society is discouraging women and minorities from feeling that they belong. And so it's not all equal. And also studies have shown that men and women both, per college professors, favor white male students in ways they aren't even conscious of. You know, they answer their emails and requests for help sooner. They invite them out for a beer. They spend more time answering their questions. This has been documented by studies. And that was more what was going on than any sort of, and that's what's still going on today. You know, and what I found was that things hadn't changed very much, surprisingly little, from the time that I was an undergraduate.
And we're going to pick that up in a bit. We're talking right now with Eileen Pollack, the author of The Only Woman in the Room, Why Science is Still a Boys Club. She's talking about her experience as one of the first women to earn a Bachelor of Science degree in physics from Yale, and what's changed or hasn't changed since then.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a woman in the sciences, what has your experience been? If you're a woman who'd considered going into the sciences and then didn't, what changed your mind? Have you been encouraged or dissuaded by people around you? What could be done to create a more welcoming atmosphere for women in science? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with author Eileen Pollack. Her new book is The Only Woman in the Room. She's looking back on her experience as a physics student at Yale University and her decision to walk away from her career in sciences, which she says is still a boys' club. She's worried that's keeping women like her from entering fields like math, engineering, technology.
You can join us at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with this assessment that science is still a boys' club and discourages women from pursuing graduate studies or careers in that field? And if so, what do you think could be done to change the climate and get girls involved in STEM at an early age? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Eileen, briefly before we go to callers, what has changed? You went back to Yale. You talked to women in the field there now, years after you'd been there. What has changed and what hasn't?
Well, one thing that hasn't changed, and I was shocked to hear this from undergraduates at Yale now, physics majors, very bright women, who talked about how they were teased when they were in junior high and high school by their teachers, by their classmates, that it's still considered not feminine, not cool to be good in science and math, that they were worried no one would date or marry them. I was just really appalled that that hadn't changed. There are a few more women in the room now than there were. Certainly in biology, there are a lot more women in the room. So numbers have changed. There are more people who want to see women and minorities in these fields who are thinking about it. But graduate school is still, you know, almost a hazing that I think is hard for anyone, male or female, to get through because of the, you know, the restrictions on your lifestyle. But that I think hits women harder than men. And some things are worse. I think that there's an even greater emphasis on sort of looking very feminine, even sexy in our culture now than there was in the 60s or 70s. Thinking about very romantic weddings and child rearing is even more labor-intensive and time-consuming, all-consuming than it was until recently. And I think that makes it even harder for women to see themselves in science, to put the time in, to really make a two-career marriage work with all that. So, and a lot of the gender bias, you know, I should say it's coming from women as well as men. So studies have shown that women discriminate against other women in science as much as men do, which was also a really startling finding that I was very surprised about.
Let's dive into our callers now. We've got Courtney on the line in Waukesha. Courtney, hi.
Hi.
What is your experience with this?
I am a math major, and I currently work in a very male, even older male, I have a huge age gap too, dominated workplace. And I actually, as a woman, I don't want to be treated differently. And I do disagree with the speaker because I don't want to be treated differently. I don't want to go out with beers with the guys to talk about sports. And I believe that other women who feel like they're not invited shouldn't feel bad about that or wrong. I don't believe in college that you should be encouraged to do anything. Maybe at the high school level, sure. But in college, I mean, that's something that most of us are paying for out of our own pockets. Our parents aren't paying for it anymore. And we should have to fight for it. And we should have to work our butts off to get there without having a professor encourage us, because then we are encouraged the whole way through our college career. And we get out in the real world and realize no one's encouraging me to get a job.
Well, Courtney, thank you so much. So lots to chew on there for you. And Eileen, what about that? There's a young woman in math saying she doesn't want to be treated differently, doesn't want the encouragement, and sounds like doesn't need it.
Right. Well, first of all, most of what I'm hoping for is for people to be treated equally. So there are some differences that are really pretty shocking, where studies have shown that if two people are applying for a job, so if someone gets exact same job application, resume, cover letter, recommendations, but one version of it has a man's name on it and one has a woman's name on it, the woman is much less likely to be hired, mentored. Her salary is going to be much lower just because the name was changed, all right? Or they found that when women start up their biology labs, their startup package from the university is an average of $350,000, where the man with the same level is getting $890,000. So there's some very real inequities that the caller, Courtney, shouldn't have to deal with. In terms of encouragement, some women don't need the encouragement, and that's fine. But this idea, so there's some women that I talk to who've made it very far in their fields and say, I didn't need this, so nobody needs it.
We have a lot of other calls, and I know that sure. They want to talk to you, so I'm just going to dive in now so we can get to one more quickly. Bonnie in Big Bend. Bonnie, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Just wanted to let you know I am retired now, but things have improved since the days when I was in high school. Back in the late 60s, the very first day of biology class, our biology teacher opened up the day by telling us, you girls just behave in class and I'll see that you pass the D. I'm not going to bother teaching you.
All right, so some stories that maybe sound depressingly familiar from some of your days, Eileen, does it start so young still, do you think, that girls are not getting what they need in the sciences from a young age?
Yeah, there have been, first of all, some of that stuff still goes on. I heard some comments like that are still being made. But a lot of it is just that girls pick up from the media what their image of a scientist is supposed to look like. And by second grade, they think of a scientist as a male, as a white male in a lab coat. And they don't see girls, they don't see themselves as scientists. And that difference in their image of themselves versus the media image is very powerful, even at a young age. So it's a lot of things that just are very subtle, that just mount up, things that parents say, things that an older relative or a teacher said, that's still very pervasive, even at a young age.
And Eileen, we only have a couple of moments left, but any quick advice for girls and women who want to go into STEM?
Yeah, it's just once you're aware of what's going on, it's just much easier to sort of encourage yourself or maybe not look for that encouragement that's not going to come, or know that there are these biases or different ways of thinking about, you know, if a course is hard, do you blame yourself or you just think, oh, the material's hard, I'll work, I got a B+, that's great, I can go on. So an awareness of what the realities of doing science are.
Eileen, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to talk with you.
Same here. Thanks for having me, Veronica.
That was Eileen Pollock, author of The Only Woman in the Room, Why Science is Still a Boys' Club.